Hey, this is Wilson. No Jason this week, as always. Of course, the great David Galvez is with me. We apologize for our absence yesterday. In this week's episode, we're going to give you the Manosphere quote of the week. And then after that, we're going to get into the Lakers and, their season ended since the last episode. So we're going to talk about the Lakers and what they need to do in the offseason, what changes they need to make, and so on. All right, so the Manosphere quote of the week for this week comes from the great Patrice O'Neal, who, if you remember when we started this string of episodes about women, it started with an episode where we did 10 Patrice O'Neal quotes. There are so many Patrice O'Neal quotes for men to learn from. And here's one. Patrice said, and I quote, "Women think in terms of us, men think in terms of me." What that quote means is that, Patrice said this quote on an episode of Black Phillip, and he went on to explain that, for example, if a man were to win the lottery, his woman would go, "Damn, we won the lottery." But if a guy's girl was to win the lottery, he would go, "Damn, my girl won the lottery," you know? So there's just a difference there.
Stop it there. If the woman won the lotto, how would she see it? Would she say, "We won the lotto," or "I won the lotto"?
I just said she would say, okay, I should say, yeah, the woman would say, "I won the lotto."
You think so?
I don't know. How do you feel about it? You're the one with the wife.
Well, it's different because when you have a wife, it's we. I mean, unfortunately, if you guys obviously didn't sign a prenup, she gets half of it because you won while you were married, or she won while she was married. So either spouse gets half of it. There's nothing you can do. In my case specifically, I think we would both say we won the lotto because me and my wife don't have like those issues that some married couples have, you know? So I think in our case, you know, it wouldn't be a problem, but I feel like it would go either way. You know, a girl might say we won it, but here's the thing, you know, she might start feeling like she don't need her man anymore.
Yeah, once she has more than he does, I mean, yeah, if they weren't married, you know, and she won the lottery, she'd go, "Okay, I'm better than this guy now. I just won
the lottery." I mean, hopefully for the guy's sake, they're married, and that way, you know, he can at least get half if she don't want to be with him anymore.
Right. Yeah. But you know, the larger point is just that, you know, in a relationship, you know, the woman needs the man more than the man needs the woman. And as men, we think in terms of our own individual goals, our life. There's no man who, you know, we look to women for sex, but we don't really look to women for more than that. You know, it's more like the woman is looking for a man who can provide things for her as far as financially and emotionally, the stability that a man can provide. And then it happens that way. But it's not like a man is looking for a woman to complete him, whereas a woman is looking for a man to complete her. You know, it's just, there's so many different things. We've talked about this before, but there's so many different things that a man brings to the table in a relationship that a woman can't do for herself. Whereas there's really nothing that a woman brings to a relationship that a man can't bring to himself. You know, other than sex, and then a man can just go out and pay for sex if that's, you know, that's not even an issue, you know. But you know, it just goes to show the difference in the way that the two sexes think, you know.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like, the woman, like, she will actually act like they're equal. Well, really, they're not. They only want to be equal when it's convenient for them, right? Mm-hmm. And this just goes for any aspect of life. For example, in soccer, right? There can in men's soccer there can be women refs. In women's soccer, there's only women refs. There's no men refs. That's not equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they won't say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hear a lot of stories about like transgender men, women, or men that become female, and then they go fight male women, and they like really fuck them up. Mm-hmm. I really like. You'll never see the opposite though, because women know that they cannot physically stand a chance. You'll never see a woman transgender into a male and go fight another male. You'll never see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And can you imagine? You know, remember when Ronda Rousey was at her hype, at the height of her career, she had just beaten I don't know who, and she called out Mayweather. And there was people that were actually trying to make viable arguments of why she could beat Mayweather in an MMA fight.
Mm-hmm.
I would have paid to see that. I would have loved for Mayweather to fuck her up, just to shut her up. And she ended up losing like two straight fights, and her yeah. MMA career was over.
That was funny when she ended up getting exposed, because they yeah. got her up like she was like the female Mike Tyson or something like that.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden you were like, okay, well, this is just a girl. And she got knocked yeah. out and she was crying, you know?
Yeah.
So, but just to get, you know, scientific with it, for those who don't know, it's in the animal kingdom, human beings are one of the very few species where the male contributes to the upbringing of the child, you know? In most species, probably at least 95% of all species, the female is pretty much on her own, you know, to fend for herself. And then, you know, when she has her babies, to fend for her babies, you know. And the reason that human males contribute so much, and you know, to the upbringing of their children is the size of the human brain. The human brain is so large, you know, relative to, you know, the other species. That it's no way to raise a, you know, it takes us 18 years to fully develop. And so there's really no way for one person, especially a female, to raise a child by herself when it takes that long for the child to develop. You know, any other species, it takes, you know, a few years at most, 3, 4, 5 years, and then the animal has reached maturity. But human beings, it's not like that, you know. And all of that goes into why women, you know, seek men to, you know, as a life partner, you know, that's the real basis of it, right
and
there.
And see, the thing is, the thing of, like, a man can provide everything: stability, financial, and every protection, safety, all that. And a woman feels like all she needs to provide is sex.
Mm-hmm.
But when all you can provide is that, it just makes you. It makes your relevance that much less, because you can get sex anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and all these women, you know, they don't even know how to, you know, they don't know how to cook, you know? They don't even want to. They don't cook, they don't clean, they don't bring a man peace, you know? I mean, in every way possible, they've been, like, you know.
And then they'll throw it. Like, it's so funny because women are so quick to throw it in a man's face. I hear it all the time about how she carried the fucking baby for 9 months and mm-hmm. how she gave birth. Okay, that's fine. But you're a woman. That's your job. Like, you'll hear a woman complain that she held the baby for 9 months and went through that. You'll never hear the dad complain that he had to wake up every day to go to work to provide for his family.
Mm-hmm.
Never. But yet, you know, these women, of course, so quick to, you know, to point out everything they do in a relationship. That's why Mother's Day is so celebrated and Father's Day is just an afterthought. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame when, I mean, I get why single mothers, like, try to hype themselves up on Father's Day. Like, oh, my child grew up without a father. I was his father, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. I can see why women think like that. What really pisses me off is when the men who grew up with single mothers hype their moms up for being a father figure to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same, bro. It's like there's certain things a woman cannot teach a man about how to be a man. There's certain things a woman cannot teach her son on how to be a man, right? Just like there's certain things a dad cannot teach his daughter on how to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a woman, no matter how much of a father figure she tries to be to her only son, there's certain things that she just, because she's not a man, she didn't go through it. Like, imagine if you're a single dad and your 12, 13-year-old daughter says, "Dad, I got my period." You'll be like, "What the fuck?" Like, I don't know. Go on YouTube or something and figure it out.
Yeah.
Because we didn't go through a period, you know? Mm-hmm. So we cannot teach them that. And that's what, you know, pisses me off about, you know, like, I know a couple dudes that I remember used to go out. I'm not going to mention his name because I never really liked him, but whatever. You had mentioned something about mothers on Father's Day. And then there was a guy who we went to school with who we named Anonymous. You might remember who I'm talking about. If you want to mention him, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bashing you because of what a great single mother he had and how great he turned out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you probably get pegged in the ass if you think like that. Your mom probably taught you how to get pegged in the ass. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Don't mention your name.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. Your least favorite person.
Yeah, okay. And I'm just like, okay, don't be mad at me because your dad didn't want to stick around with you losers.
Yeah. And I explained the mechanism, like the scientific, you know, the nature or explanation for human males being, you know, active in the upbringing of their children and how rare it is. And then you see the importance of it in, you know, like Alvis was saying, when the father is absent, you know, you look at me as
there's always and there's always the, sorry to cut you off, but there's always exceptions, right? Where a male didn't grow up without a father, he turns out to be okay, he turns out to be a great guy, someone like LeBron James, other people, other famous, I'm sure, rappers or celebrities or whoever, that they turned out just fine. But if you just go based on the numbers, there's always mm-hmm. going to be exceptions. Just like there's exceptions to women. But, you know.
Right. A kid without a dad, like Larry Elder always says, quoting Obama. Obama said himself, a kid without a dad is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. You know, so, I mean, all the numbers bear out, you know, if you're a boy, it leads to a life of, like, you know, of crime. If you're a girl, it leads to a life of, you know, teenage motherhood and that whole cycle.
Becoming a stripper, becoming a hooker.
And having kids by different men and being a single mother and all that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, men are essential. And, you know, like I was saying about the Father's Day thing, you know, we don't get the credit that we deserve, you know, but we're so valuable to everything that happens, you know.
Because, you know, women are always bitching and complaining and making themselves act to be the victim. And that's why the fathers get no love, you mm-hmm. know. And what do we hear more? Like, all you hear about is single mothers. You don't really hear about single fathers. That's why, you know, Mother's Day, you know, gets so much more hype. And, you know, there's exceptions to the rules. You know, there's a few kids out there. Like, if you put 1,000 single kids, right? If you put 1,000 kids that didn't grow up without a father, I bet there's going to be so much more kids that grow up fucked up than there are good ones. But if you just try to show the good ones and just try to diminish the ones that didn't grow up bad, I mean, you're just doing a disservice to yourself.
Yeah, you're being disingenuous.
Exactly.
But you know, especially you know, in the Black community, you know, I grew up with my father actually. I didn't grow up with my mother. But you know, 73% of Black kids are born outside of wedlock. So we're talking about, you know, especially in, you know, neighborhoods like, you know, poor neighborhoods, the hood, the ghetto. We're talking probably at least about 80% or higher of kids where there's no growing up without their father. There's no man in the home. And mm-hmm. you see these kids and how they are, and it's kind of like growing. It's like you know, growing up without a father is like growing up with a missing limb. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're missing something. You're missing something, you know, essential. So many guys who you know they like with you know Black guys with the excessive emotionalism that was something that they get from the, you know from being around women because women are very emotional. You know. And just a lot of different things, you know, mm-hmm. just to be attachment to the woman. Like I always remember when Bobby Knight said, even though it kind of, I thought it was so funny, even though it kind of was like a shot at me because I've been a sports writer and a writer in the past. But Bobby Knight, you know, he always had problems with the writers and stuff. And he goes, we all learn to write in the second grade. Most of us move on to bigger and better things, you know. And it's like for most Black men, because of their upbringing, growing up without a father in the household, they're so attached to the woman. It's like that's why, you know, it's more than any other race. Like, you know, you hear about the playground fights of, you know, Black kids. When somebody makes a joke about your mama, you know, that's like fighting words right there. You know, yeah. Whereas if you had a father, if they had fathers, they wouldn't be so sensitive about their mothers. You know, mm-hmm. the reason they're so sensitive about their mothers is because anybody who's ever done anything for them was their mother or some other, some other woman, their aunt or their grandmother or whatever. You know,
yeah, it's like and imagine being young, and you have a bunch of kids, and you start a basketball team, but you don't have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just all run out there and do whatever the fuck you want, and see how many times you're gonna win a game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably none.
Yeah,
the same thing without growing up without a dad.
Yeah, but the Bobby Knight analogy is what I'm making is that like okay, it's Black men who they're in first grade, second grade. Somebody makes a joke about their mother, they're ready to fight, and the guy'll be 50 or 60 years old. He'll still be the same way. He'll still be extra sensitive and extra emotional about his mother, and it's pathetic, you know. And that's a big part of the reason why, you know. I mean, the Black man has been dropping the ball ever since we came over here, you know, starting with slavery. It was 250 years of slavery, then 100 years of Jim Crow, and now it's 50 plus years of this single mother stuff. And I wasn't here for slavery or Jim Crow, but I can tell that, I mean, it's the same thing, basically, where it's like you have a crisis going on and the men just won't do anything. And the reason that the men won't do anything in this case is because they feel like, well, if the problem is Black single mothers, but they think, well, if I came from a Black single mother, how can I go against Black single mothers? Or how can I go against Black women, period? Mm-hmm. Because they feel like it's like they're going against their very, it would mean like they would have to like their whole life would be a lie, basically, you know, if they were to go against the group of people who's really, you know, at fault for most of the problems that we have as a race.
If they go at feminism, it's like they might as well go at their own mom.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Now, real quick, let me tell you, Nestle, you know what's going on with the Chrissy Teigen situation? Did you hear about it?
I did. She's getting like canceled, like they turned against her, right?
Okay. So throughout the Trump presidency, she was going at Trump for being this, being that, being a jerk, blah, 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 right? So then, mm-hmm. you know, she started to have deals with Macy's. I guess she was coming out with some type of line, collection, who knows what, don't know, don't care. But those tweets resurfaced, and she was basically being a bully, quote-unquote being a bully. I think one of them was something about she had told a girl that she should go slit her wrists, or she should, I think, I'm not sure, don't quote me, but mm-hmm. I think something along those lines, right? Like being a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Tweets resurface. Now everybody wants to cancel her. And I bet you anything, she's probably sitting in her room thinking, I can't believe I'm getting canceled for something I tweeted 8 years ago. Now I know why people love Trump.
Yeah.
It has to be that. I mean, like, imagine she was all about the cancel culture. And it's funny how they say world goes round, man. It's mm-hmm. like, it's the circle of life. Mm-hmm. She's over here trying to cancel Trump, trying to cancel this because it was going against her views. And she ended up getting canceled by the same people she was with throughout the Trump presidency.
Mm-hmm. And Trump is proof now, that you can't cancel somebody who doesn't care. You know?
Yeah.
You can't cancel somebody who's not apologizing. You know, mm-hmm. who is who he is, you know, and doesn't apologize for it.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But hopefully all these people that are trying to cancel Trump or were trying to cancel Trump last year, they know they got to walk a fine line because anything you say or said in the past, they're going to cancel you, bro. And it's a bunch of people out there that have nothing better to do with their lives than to sit up there and care about what a celebrity tweeted and how long ago they tweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hopefully more of these celebrities, they kind of realize, you know, the same people I was going to war with are going to war against me now.
That's right. Okay, so moving on. The Lakers. Since the last episode, when we recorded last, that was before Game 5. Anthony Davis missed Game 5. The Lakers got smacked. And Anthony Davis came out for Game 6 and tried to give it a go. And he was, you know, he lasted 5 minutes. And he had to go sit down. He put a towel on his head. And the Lakers got smacked most of that game. They did make it more respectable in the second half. But, you know, they never really stood a chance. With AD out. And then we hit the offseason. The Lakers, you know, I mean, technically they are still the defending champions, but not really. You know, it's just a matter of time now. There will be no repeat. And we have to see what happens. Dennis Schroeder is going to be a free agent. Montrezl Harrell has a player option. We'll see what he decides to do. They benched him. Frank Vogel benched him in that series, you know, which was, we could have used him. I mean, that guy is an animal off the bench. You know, he's one of our most consistent players this year. Played fewer minutes than he played with the Clippers, but still performing, you know. And we have to see what happens, guys. What are you looking forward to this offseason with the Lakers?
It's crazy because their cap situation is all fucked because LeBron and AD got super maxes.
Mm-hmm.
And Kuzma, they gave him that big extension. And so, problem is, Kuzma's damaged goods now. Who's going to want him? You'll be lucky if you get a first-round pick because, one, you know what you're getting out of Kuzma. And you know that you already know what his ceiling is. You already know at his best what he is. I think, obviously, you have to – if you're the Lakers, you got to ask yourself, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to squeeze one more championship out of LeBron and, you know, maybe damage the future? Or are we just going to, all right, we got our championship with LeBron. Let's just ride it out and let's plan for the future with Anthony Davis moving forward. You know, there's a lot of good free agents coming out this year and next year. Kawhi is going to opt out. Steph can opt out next year, right?
Right.
And so I really think they need a point guard. They need a playmaker because LeBron already showed you that he can't do it anymore, night in and night out. He can't. And then Anthony Davis, unfortunately, right, he already showed you kind of can't rely on him because he's always getting hurt.
Yeah. You know, LeBron at this point in his career, it has to be like, he has to be like, you know, it's basically already here. But it reminds me of, you know, Lew Alcindor, before he became Kareem, right before he became Kareem, he won the title. They won the title in 71 when he was with Milwaukee with him and Oscar Robertson, right? And Alcindor was, you know, Kareem was young. He was the best player in the league, you know, one of the most dominant players in history. And you had an Oscar Robertson who was not the same Oscar Robertson he had been in the, you know, in the 60s when he was, you know, the all-around dynamo whirlwind, but still a very good, you know, older player, you know, but just not a, no longer really a superstar. And I think that's what this, what's going to have to happen with LeBron and AD, you know, assuming they don't get a, you know, a third, you know, I mean, for me, I think the Lakers need to either, yeah, they need to either, you know, bring back the same squad basically, or, you know, if there's a possibility of them, maybe, you know, if Montrez opts in and they can, you know, they can say, okay, well, Dennis, you know, we could just do a sign and trade with you. I doubt that would happen though, because Dennis wants to pick where he wants to go now. You know, so if it's not with the Lakers, but Dennis did say that he, you know, wanted to return and run it back with this squad. So, but as far as LeBron goes, you know, LeBron is going to be 37 years old in December. You know, and he just finished year 18. Next year is going to be year 19. You know, no one has ever.
He's going into the finals every year.
Yeah, he's been in the
last 10 years. For the past 10 years, he's been to the finals 8 times.
Yeah,
and you count. You have to win 16 games over the pan. He's played, if you include the playoffs, he's probably played like 24 seasons. If you include the minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, and so he's, you know, he's not. I try to tell everybody he's not this. He's not the guy who's going to just be able to go out there anymore and say, you know, even that 40-point game that he had against Miami when they tried to close it out last year in that game 5, that probably would have been 50, you know, 5 years ago, you know. But he's not that guy anymore. And even though he can't even get to 40 anymore, you know, I think he had 26 or 29, you know, in an elimination game, which is, you know, I mean, it wasn't enough, especially without AD. So he just can't carry a team anymore, you know. But you would expect that at his age. But because he's, you know, set such a high standard for himself, you know, I mean, I'm kind of guilty of it too sometimes, where I think, you know, it's like I need to give him more of a, cut him some more slack, you know, sometimes. Yeah. Like when he was, like when his ankle was hurt, you know, and he was missing, he missed a couple of, he came
like
back.
People think
missed a couple games
he's still
again.
The same LeBron, because physically what they see on TV, he still runs just as fast. He's still just as strong. He still got those crazy dunks. So people just see the highlights and they think, okay, he's still the same player. It was like Kobe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kobe, even after the Achilles injury, he still moved the same. He still, mm-hmm. like, he still looked good, but you knew he wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
Or as good, obviously as good.
Yeah. But LeBron is like, since you mentioned Kobe, LeBron is like Kobe post 2010. The Lakers won their last Kobe championship in 2010. In the next few years, Kobe was still first-team All-NBA, but he wasn't really a threat to lead the Lakers to a championship after 2010. Because at that point, Kobe had played so much basketball, and you just had so many young, you know, it was guys who were younger, and, you know, Durant and Westbrook and LeBron, you know, it was their time then, you know, to take over. And Kobe was still a great player. Like I said, still first-team All-NBA. But he was never gonna. He was no longer gonna be able to compete with those guys to win championships.
Yeah, physically.
Yeah, and you know, LeBron. I mentioned the Oscar Robertson thing. That's how it has to. That's how it has to be. You know, it's gonna have to be Anthony Davis doing the heavy lifting, and LeBron playing a supporting role. You know, and then, you know, every now and then dialing, you know, turning back the clock and doing it on memory. You know, some old school LeBron stuff. You know, but you know. And but I think, you know, it was a talented team this year, but it just was too much. You know, I think the injuries obviously was, because if, you know, I think if AD doesn't get hurt, they handle Phoenix because they were handling Phoenix. You know, so you got to keep that in mind, that if AD, when AD was in there, and it seemed like the Lakers were just too much for Phoenix. You know, but without AD, you know, it all falls apart. So the injuries, I think the team chemistry wasn't the same as it was last year. You know, it was a different team. Half the team was gone. You know, it was a more talented team this year. But, you know, when you had more talent means sometimes lesser chemistry. you know, because you have guys like, you know, Montrez and Dennis Schroeder who think, well, look, I've done some stuff in this league too. I can really play, you know. Mm-hmm. Last year you had LeBron.
And he's playing, and he's playing for a big contract. So exactly. He's kind of, yeah, I'm thinking about the team, but at the same time, I'm thinking about me.
Yeah.
And I think he's, what, 28, 29? So This is really his last chance to really get that big contract. You know, he hasn't gotten that huge contract yet. And so, you know, it's tough. Like LeBron and AD, yeah, they can, and even Kuzma, yeah, we can think about the team because I already secured the bag. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's easy to put team first when you've, you know, locked up that huge contract. I mean, and it sucks. We know we're not going to have any draft picks. We, other than LeBron and AD, we don't have any players that hold any true trade value. Maybe Kuzma did a couple years ago. But, I mean, you never know. Like, how things turn. I mean, look at Jordan Clarkson. How many years did it take for him to finally, like, really show his value in the league?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jordan Clarkson came in what, like 2016, right? He came in with D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because he almost has, it's almost the same story, Jordan Clarkson with Kyle Kuzma, you know? Jordan Clarkson came in with D'Angelo Russell. Or was it D'Angelo or Julius Randle? I think it was D'Angelo, right?
If Clarkson came in with?
Yeah.
Bro, I think Clarkson might have come in with Julius. Let me see.
Well, regardless, while Anthony checks on that. Clarkson was the second round pick, and he showed a lot of flashes of being really good. And then he kind of wasn't good, so they traded him, and he kind of bounced around the league a little bit. And then now he found a home in Utah as a sixth man of the year, right? Kuzma came in. Kuzma came in with Lonzo, and he killed it in the summer league, and that hype went into the preseason. That preseason went into the, and he looked like, oh shit, he might actually be a better player than Lonzo. Mm-hmm. And for a while he was. And now it's like it's all pretty much, you know, gone downhill for him. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your thoughts on Kuzma? He is what he is, right?
Well, number one. Oh, yeah, Clarkson came in with Julius. They were rookies.
Okay. There.
But as far as Kuzma, I think Kuzma might be somebody who, I mean, like you said, we know what he is, especially on a team like this. You know, he's going to average, you know, 11 to 13 points a game. He did rebound. Maybe really had a better year this year than he had last year because he rebounded better. He defended better, you know. But he's not gonna be putting up big numbers on this team.
No.
And if his numbers are, you know, if you know, do start to increase, it probably means that something is going wrong with the team. You know, like LeBron has been hurt and AD's been hurt. So he has to step up and score more, which is not
good. And he didn't.
Well, he scored a little bit more. But the point is that
if he was scoring,
the situation is.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I guess as Laker fans, we overhype our players. And we really, like, I saw a post on Facebook that when Kyle Kuzma was at his absolute hype, they actually were comparing him to Jason Tatum in the sense of who would you rather have? And because, you know, they kind of look like the same player. Jason Tatum's obviously a little bigger, a little more built. At the time, he was a better player. But there was actually, you could kind of make not the argument that he was better, but that he was maybe just a notch below the Jason Tatum. And look how that turned out. I mean, can you imagine the Lakers? But, you know, if we had Jason Tatum, I'm sure we would have had to give him up for Anthony Davis. So,
well, we gave up an Anthony Davis like play. And I'm not sorry, Jason Tatum like player in Ingram for Anthony Davis. So,
yeah. Do you think if the Lakers would have kept their core, they would have eventually won a championship?
No. Are you talking about like LeBron with the guys or LeBron?
Yeah. Not LeBron with D'Angelo, Clarkson, and Randall. I'm talking about LeBron with Lonzo, Ingram. And then the number fourth pick, who would have been who? Can you imagine if the Lakers would have got the number two pick and just kept that team with Ja Morant? Ooh. I don't know, man.
Well, I don't think. I think if you look at it, Lonzo and Ingram in New Orleans with Zion, that wasn't worth much this year. And Zion was a monster, you know.
But look what it translated to. Nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
They couldn't even go. Oh, they did get. Did they go into the play-in? No, they didn't. Right?
No, that's
yeah. They didn't even make 10th seed.
That's my point. You know, it's not working. So would it work with old LeBron? No. Who can't carry a team anymore? No. You know?
Yeah.
So Anthony Davis he's an amazing.
And it looked like Ingram kind of took a step back this year, huh? He really didn't make any noise this year. I mean, as much as he did last year.
Well, I mean, he was the same guy as last year. So he kind of made the, you know, that's what everybody, you know, paid attention with. You know, I was like, oh, look at Brandon Ingram. But, you know.
I think Lakers are just so unfortunate that while they were bad, they just kind of kept getting bad luck. They just couldn't get that number one pick that could have been Ben Simmons. And then the year they traded Lonzo. Well, the year they got Lonzo, I'm sure they would have drafted Lonzo regardless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just... I don't know, man. Lakers, but one thing I will mention, though, is we talked about this right after they got eliminated. It doesn't feel the same anymore. It doesn't hurt as much. It didn't hurt me at all. It hurt me for about literally 10 seconds. And I wouldn't even use the word hurt. I was disappointed. But, you know, okay, let's go back to LeBron real quick. You've seen the videos of him quitting on his team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You saw the video of Kyle Kuzma throwing up that wild pass that hits the backboard and LeBron asked to get subbed out immediately. You saw that video?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 8 minutes left in the game. They're only down by 12. You're the franchise player. What are you doing asking for a sub? Because you're frustrated.
Maybe I thought he was just tired.
Yeah, but regardless, though, like, because if you really think about it, he had 2 months off with his injury. And so he, you know, it wasn't like he had played all 82 games like he used to. But obviously he is older, so that affected him. But see, this is why the old heads have a tough time comparing him to Jordan, even Kobe, because it's like, these guys in the 80s, 90s, and even in the early 2000s, these guys are fucking warriors, bro. They would not have gotten subbed out in an elimination game down by 12. I don't care how tired you are. These guys would not have asked to come out. Kobe would have said, all right, we're going to lose. We're going to win on my watch. We're going to lose on my watch. But I'm not going to. The only time we could ever say Kobe gave up was Game 7 against the Phoenix Suns, where he only shot one time in the second half.
And he was trying to make a point.
Yeah, and in 18 years, or 20 years that he played, 20 years that he played, for him to only give up once, and he was just proving the point because he knew they were going to lose already, so there was no point. That game was a blowout already.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
He never just said, all right, y'all got it. Y'all got us.
Exactly. Right. I don't care. I mean, the dude tore his Achilles and walked onto the court and still shot 2 free throws. You know? Yeah. I've never seen Jordan even in the 96 or the 98 Bulls when he was 36 years old. He never said, look at the flu game. He never said, I'm tired, take me out. And so that's why, like, what I don't care. This is the time where you throw stats out. Who cares about stats? You do not ask to come out of the game if you're on GOAT level status. When the game, now, if they were down by 20 plus, maybe, I guess, you're down by 20. Even if you're down by 20, dude, there's still. How many times did the Clippers blow 20 point leads? You know, all the time. So a 20-point lead with 7-8 minutes left in the game, it's not to give up. You know, now if you can't cut into that lead and it's already in the 3-minute mark, okay, then you know, I guess you feel like all right, damage is done. There's nothing we can do about it. Down by 12 with 7, and then LeBron comes out, and then Phoenix scores like 7 straight points, right? And then now it's a 21-point lead, and you bring him in. For what? It's already, like, if he couldn't do it at 12, down 12, what are you bringing him in down 20?
Yeah, and I think the fatigue as far as, you know, having them a shortened offseason, to me, that was the least of the, I had three, you know, things I put the season on, which was first the injuries, then the team chemistry, then I had fatigue third. Because I felt like you mentioned, LeBron, you know, AD took an AD missed, you know, 2 months during the season too. So they both, you know, had basically 2 months off during the middle of the season, you know, and then the other, as far as, you know, like I said, you know, half the team was gone. So, you know, the short offseason didn't apply to Schroeder. It didn't apply to Montrez. You know, it didn't apply to Gasol and some of the other guys.
Yeah. You know, all those players. So, the only player it applied to was Kuzma.
Caruso, KCP,
and that's pretty much it, because those were the only players that were actually playing in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Any other players, they didn't even play in the finals.
Yeah, even a Morris, he didn't. Markieff Morris, he didn't. You know, I mean, he played, but it wasn't.
He didn't play. He didn't play huge minutes. Right. And they were in the bubble, so they weren't even like traveling and fatigued.
Yeah, they were chilling.
They were just chilling in a fucking 5-diamond resort. You know, so, but that's why, like, it's hard, especially like Jordan is different, because we really didn't see Jordan in his prime, or at least we didn't really, like, in 98 we were only 10 years old, so we didn't really know. But definitely with Kobe, we never saw him asked to get subbed out because he was tired, ever. And yeah, it was, and LeBron didn't get subbed out because he was fatigued. LeBron got subbed out because he got frustrated.
Right.
So, you know, that's where, you know, that's why, like I said, the old heads, they have a tough time giving LeBron that GOAT status.
Yeah, you mentioned last week that AD, you know, his growing saying was a grade one, you know, and it's like, bro, like, It's in your mind, you know. Like, I remember when I was in high school, and I sprained my ankle really bad, right? But you know, I was young, and so it was a really bad ankle sprain. But a week later, I was pretty much okay, you know.
And yeah, I and that's because you weren't even. That's because you weren't an athlete. So just imagine if you were like, you so know,
you're trained to recover. Your body's trained to recover from injury, you know. And so I was, you know, I was. The doctor told me, you know, stay off the ankle for, you know, I forget how many weeks it was. And so I was up there, you know, like kind of just limping around. And one of the guys, we were at PE, and one of the guys goes, bro, like, you're fine. That's just in your head, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what AD reminds me of. You know, like, it was like, bro, like, just
especially it's in your mind. Now, it's a great one. Like you said, like, if he was a free agent going into the season, I would say, okay, he just wants to make sure he doesn't really but even if he would have gotten injured, the Lakers would have still given him that super max. It wasn't like he was playing for a contract. He was going to get it regardless, whether it was with the Lakers or someone else. And so the fact that he didn't even try to go out in game 5 just shows, I don't know if that's him specifically or that's just how these new guys move around, but it's pretty sad to see.
Yeah, it's a different athlete today, Galvis.
Oh yeah, you know, you hear about, like, especially in baseball, right? Pitcher, you know, threw 9 innings the game before. And then the following day, he goes in there for a 3-inning save. You know, it's just, It's just, you know, but I get it. You know, it's so much money now invested into these players that the teams have to protect their investments and and what have you. But, you know, it's definitely different now. You can't expect them. You know, it's just, it's not even just the athletes. It's people, it's society as well, man. Like, you know, back then, you know, men used to work 12-hour shifts. They get injured, rub some dirt on it, and that's it. But nowadays, you know.
All right, so before we get out of here, just a reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. The show is also on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and every other major podcatcher. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at TCP_pod, and to like it on Facebook. Just search for the Complete Player Podcast. Send feedback and mail back questions to WilsonReportRedux@gmail.com. We are out.